KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy here at the KJAN studios in Atlantic. 74 degrees, our current temp. Good morning, I'm Brett Johnson with KJAN News. In the news this morning, Governor Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds will be touring the state in the upcoming week. Among their public appearances on Monday is a stop in Coon Rapids at 12:30, where they'll have what was named Iowa's Best Burger at the Coon Bowl 3 in support of Iowa's beef industry. Branstad and Reynolds will leave Coon Rapids afterward and head to Audubon for an Audubon County Town Hall meeting at the Audubon County Economic Development Office. At 3:30, Iowa's Governor and Lieutenant Governor will be in Harlan for a Shelby County Town Hall meeting. That takes place at Michael's Family Restaurant. Other stops during their week in western Iowa include those in Woodbine, Onawa, and Denison. The latter two stops will occur on Tuesday. Also, Governor Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Reynolds on Friday announced the latest appointments for the 6 regional STEM network hubs advisory boards. The goal of the STEM Advisory Council, a public-private partnership, is creating greater student achievement in the areas of science, technology, engineering, and math, as well as a stronger STEM workforce. Reynolds says the members of the STEM regional advisory boards will serve as boots on the ground and be the most entrenched members of the STEM initiative in their regions in Iowa. Each STEM network hub will work with business, education institutions, nonprofit groups, and others in the region in a way that best fits local needs, interests, and resources. Among the 13 individuals named the advisory council in the Southwest Iowa region was Dr. Alan Ladd of Atlantic, Dr. Barbara Credenton of Creston, Jill Eukin of Lewis, Thomas Leeson of Creston, and Kathy Most of Red Oak. The city council in Walnut met during a regular session Thursday morning, and during their session they discussed but took no action on the adoption of an ordinance controlling the use of golf carts on city streets in Walnut. City Clerk Terry A. Bell reports on the matter.
We've had some problems with people riding golf carts and Pottawatomie County stopping them, and I guess there's a glitch in the law that you have to have an ordinance to allow them on the streets. So they're considering adopting a resolution to allow that very thing.
Abel says the Walnut City Council also heard from representatives with the Volunteer Fire Department with regard to the Walnut Firemen's Fun Fest, which runs through Sunday. As the event kicked off last night with an alumni versus high school slow pitch softball game and a free ice cream social by the Walnut Youth Advisory Board.
We have a free barbecue Saturday night, free will donation, and a parade Saturday afternoon at 4:30. Kids games in the parks all day.
Today's activities also include a co-ed slow pitch softball tournament, which actually is getting underway in just about an hour, and a watermelon feed from 1 to 3 p.m., and the annual fireman's dinner at the Legion Hall following the parade. Terry says the Antique City Car Show will also be held on Sunday as part of the Fun Fest. The Walnut City Council on Thursday also discussed a possible downtown beautification project, which Abel says includes a streetscape and a restoration of business areas in Walnut. A woman being held in the Montgomery County Jail faces additional charges after corrections officers discovered the inmate was allegedly in possession of marijuana. According to Red Oak Police, 45-year-old Tammy Ray Thallis was arrested on Thursday on a possession of a contraband charge, which is a felony offense. Thallis is being held in the county jail on $5,000 bond. Court records did not indicate what the original charges were for. Sheriff's officials in Mills County are investigating recently reported incidents of theft and or burglary. On Wednesday, a resident in the 300 block of 10th Street reported items missing from his property. The person or people responsible face charges of burglary in the third degree, theft in the fourth degree if caught. Another Malvern resident reported an incident of second degree theft that had occurred on his property on Marion Avenue. No arrests have been made in connection with either of those incidents. As the summer winds down, the hustle and bustle of families falling back into school, work, and routines will begin. The American Red Cross is taking this time to remind eligible donors to help add help save lives to their list of activities. Officials say at least 3 extra donors are needed at all August blood drives about what's currently expected. The donors are critically needed in order for the Red Cross to readily meet hospital and patient needs this month and into the coming fall. And the Red Cross says this is a list of upcoming blood donation opportunities in the KJAN listening area. In Adair County, there will be one on August 22nd from 11 until 5 p.m. at Orient Maxburg High School. In Cass County, there will be one on August 16th from 11 until 5 p.m. at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Also, there will be another one a week later on August 23rd from 11 till 4 at the Heritage House in Atlantic. In Montgomery County on August 27th or 22nd rather, make that from 11:30 until 5:30. There will be a drive at the Stanton Fire Station. On August 24th, there will be a blood drive from 8 till 2 p.m. at the Montgomery County Hospital. In Pottawatomie County, on August 30th, from 11 until 5 p.m., there will be one at the DeWitt Community Building. And Shelby County will have blood drive coming up on August 23rd from noon until 6. That will be at the Portsmouth Community Center on 4th Avenue in Portsmouth. Also in the news today, a Central Iowa man is recovering quickly after being the first patient to undergo a new type of heart valve replacement surgery at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Brett Larson of Johnston, Iowa, was born with a heart defect. The 28-year-old had his first heart valve replaced at age 5 and then another one at age 15.
The last surgery I had, at this time, I couldn't even get out of bed, and now I'm leaving today after just one day. It's crazy, you know, how far they've gone in the last 12 years.
He was the subject of the hospital's first transcatheter heart valve replacement using a much less invasive technique. The valve is run through a vein in a patient's leg to the heart. Larson spent no time in the operating room at the time, and the cardiology team performed the procedure in a specialized lab.
Just, I mean, a crazy relief, like not, you know, having to be cut open again through my chest. You know, I have a big, like, 10-inch scar here. Today I'm leaving with just a little, I mean, it's about a centimeter that they went through my thigh.
Larson says he noticed a change for the better right away in his body.
It just felt like my heart was pumping so much easier. You know, I don't know if it, a lot of it was mental, but it was crazy. I could feel an immediate difference.
Artificial valves usually have to be replaced every 10 to 20 years. The Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha now expects to do up to 12 of these procedures each year. And an FBI spokesperson says authorities returned to a lake in Evansdale to check on leads related to the search for two cousins who have been missing for 3 weeks. FBI spokesperson Sandra Brault told the Waterloo-Cedar Falls Courier that authorities went Friday to Myers Lake, but that there were no positive results. 10-year-old Lara Cook and Elizabeth Collins, whose 9th birthday was Tuesday, disappeared July 13th while riding their bikes in Evansdale. Their bikes were found near the lake. Evansdale Police Chief Ken Smock says officers were looking in a wooded area near the lake. Authorities say they're confident the girls are not in the lake. Taking a look now at world and national headlines on KJAN. Authorities say dozens of homes and other structures have been destroyed as wildfires continue to rage in Oklahoma. Hundreds of homes were evacuated yesterday in at least 4 counties. Interstate 44 has reopened, and officials say gusty winds have begun to die down. A tropical storm is in the far eastern Atlantic Ocean, and now it's grown into a tropical storm named Florence. Forecasters don't expect it to become a hurricane. Meanwhile, tropical storm Ernesto is blowing across open water after dumping heavy rain on islands in the eastern Caribbean. Forecasters say it's on a path that would skirt Jamaica and then hit Mexico. And Iranian state TV says gunmen have kidnapped 48 Iranian pilgrims in a suburb of Syria's capital, Damascus. The report says the pilgrims were in a tour bus heading to a holy site by Shias when the gunmen seized them. Taking a look now at our funeral announcements this hour on KJAN. 86-year-old Joseph B. Dimmig of Atlantic died on Monday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Joseph Dimmig will be held this morning at 10:30 at St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Huckenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. 70-year-old Donna L. Walp of Audubon and formerly from North Carolina died on Monday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Donna Walp will be held this morning at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. 94-year-old Evelda Cole of Greenfield died on July 23rd in Austin, Minnesota. Memorial services for Velda Cole will be held this morning at 11 o'clock at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. 40-year-old Lawrence Walter Rabine of Des Moines and formerly from the Earlham and Stewart areas died on Tuesday at his home. Services for Lawrence Rabine will be held today at 1 p.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham. 81-year-old Lona A. Fleming of Atlantic died on Monday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Services for Lona Fleming will be held this afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And 102-year-old Harold Adamson of Greenfield died Tuesday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Harold Adamson will be held this afternoon at 3:30 At the United Methodist Church in Greenfield, Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. 95-year-old Evelyn Urbess of Greenfield died Wednesday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Evelyn Urbess will be held on Monday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. And 78-year-old Linda Jensen of Greenfield died Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Linda Jensen will be held on Tuesday at 1:30 at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. That's our news on KJAN. For KJAN News, I'm Brett Johnson reporting.